All right, well, the talk today is on meaningful memory work. I'd like to talk about the Jews just a little bit. They have had an amazing educational system for many years. And they have a lower grade school. They call it Bet Sefer. Basically means the house of the book, literally what those words mean. And the Jewish boys would go to the synagogue to go to school about the same age our children would, ages 5 to 6. They would start, and they'd go 5 days a week. But school was an all-day thing. They would often be there. That school hours would be 6 to 6 or something similar, 11 or 12-hour school days that they would spend at school. And memory work was one of the, maybe the top priority, one of the top ones at the young ages, especially. By the time these boys were 13, which is when they had their bar mitzvah ceremony and officially became a responsible adult, which is another, that's another intriguing subject we could talk about with our schools. By the time they reach 13, and some of them earlier, sometimes as early as 10 years old, they had memorized the entire Torah, which is the first five books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Can you imagine teaching your students those? It's mind-boggling. Obviously, they spent a lot more time at it. Well, so they would graduate from that, and a lot of them, especially the poor families, when they graduated that was their schooling was done. They would go home, learn the family trade, and go on with life. The best of the best, though, of the scholars, would go to the next level, kind of like high school. They call it Bet Talmud, which means the house of learning. And among other things they would do more study of the meanings, but they would study and memorize, I'm told, all the books of the Old Testament. And I don't know if that means that at any given time they could quote any part or if they had gone through it piece by piece. But they had done a tremendous amount of memorization. It's almost mind-boggling. And I've read different stories of rabbis who could quote anything in the Old Testament. And they would remember which, like they'd have their scrolls or their pages numbered. They could remember which page, which side of it, which paragraph, and which word in the sentence that this certain word was used. Just amazing. So I think we should get inspired by what children can memorize. Because if we aren't enthused, they won't be either. And if we don't set any goals, we probably won't reach them. A few things I'd like to cover. First of all, what is the value of memorization? Maybe this seems pointless to try to even talk about, but I think it is important. I'd like to start with Bible memorization. And this is sort of because it's my frame of reference, both as a student and as a teacher. I never did much memory work besides Scripture. There was a few poems here and there. And if I taught again, I think I would maybe do a little more poetry. But I think it is good to keep it fairly focused on Scripture. If there are poems and other things, they should be outstanding and solid. Why memorize? Just a few quick points. Prophet Jeremiah said to God, he said, "Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became a joy to me and the delight of my heart." And it's interesting in that verse that the eating of the word came first and then the joy and delight. Usually we think if we enjoy something, then we'll do it. But Jeremiah said, "I found your words and I ate them," or took them in, "and they became a joy to me." I think Bible memory can be that way. If your students grumble and fuss and they just don't enjoy it, it's too bad. They need to memorize. The enjoyment will come with time. Colossians 3 tells us to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. So we need to just fill ourselves with the word, whether we enjoy it at first or not. And secondly, what that will do for us is help us in our daily victory over sin. Probably some of you flew here. I can't see right off all your tags where you're from. Some of us drove here. We drove a long ways. And we know that weary, icky feeling you get after a long day of travel, especially flying nowadays. They have all these screens and you just about can't get away from them. And you're just getting bombarded all day with all these advertisements, these movies, this immorality. You're just bombarded with it. By the end of the day, you're just weary. How can we be more than conquerors? Two verses from Psalm 119 says, how can a young man cleanse his way? Or how can a young person maintain a pure life? By taking heed thereto according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That first verse, taking heed, means to guard or to beware. Look out according to God's word. Guard your heart in the way that God's word tells you to. In the last verse I read, your word have I hidden in my heart. That word means to stash away or to hoard up. Look it up in Strong's. Has the idea of hoarding something up. Little by little, it all adds up. Keep stashing it away. And the purpose is that I might not sin against you. God's word does that. So back to the thing of traveling all day. You have that weary feeling mentally, spiritually, physically. You know how a hot shower just refreshes you? That's my second little picture up there. A hot shower just refreshes you. You step out of the shower, you feel clean and fresh and re-energized. You know, we're being transformed by the renewing of our energy. And that is exactly what the Word of God can do for our minds. Excuse me. Two verses from Romans, they're a good motto for school teaching. It tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Taking in Scripture and memorizing it, internalizing it, will do that same cleansing and refreshing for our hearts and our minds as the hot shower will do for us physically. I'm sure probably all of you have heard of Shepherd's Fold. How many of you have heard of that? Shepherd's Fold, Liberty Ridge, Anchor of Hope, Teen Boys Ranch. I've talked to several of the older men who either were involved in starting those programs or maintaining them over the years. And they're helping people overcome some deep sins, some deep habits, ways of thinking, addictions. And almost all of them have very strong Bible memory programs. It's kind of intriguing to me. But these older men said that is one of the best ways. You can counsel young men or ladies, whoever comes. You can counsel them on changing their thoughts and trying to overcome this. But the Word of God is just indispensable in changing that, cleaning out their minds and changing their ways of thinking. God's Word is powerful. If we believe that ourselves, we'll believe that it will be that way for our students, and we will want to fill their hearts with God's Word. In our day today, we know how pushy the advertising is. It's just in your face all the time. If you're in public much, you get a lot of that. You hear a lot of foul language. There's a lot of philosophy out there, false doctrine that's so humanistic and new agey. And just the world, how it's increasingly pushing an anti-religious mindset and a non-moral mindset. In this world, today's society, focusing on and meditating on the truth of God's Word just is all the more crucial for us. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How can we do that? How did Jesus do it? When he was tempted in the wilderness, he recited pertinent scriptures for the temptations the devil brought him from memory, and he put Satan to flight. We don't read of him pulling out his Torah and scrolling through there while trying to find a good verse, or saying, don't tempt me right now, I'm not ready. I might have to go look up some verses later. He had them in his mind. He had them hidden away, ready to use when he needed them. And that relationship between our mind and the Spirit of God is powerful. During dark times, times of grief, temptations and stress, whatever. The Holy Spirit can use what we have memorized and bring them into our minds to bring us wisdom, strength, hope, whatever He sees that we need. So that is the value. That is the value of Bible memorization. What about other memorization, like poems, songs, short essays? Those have some value if they emphasize biblical truth. I would not have much time for some of the popular poetry that are, you know, popular in society. Just because they're popular doesn't mean they're worth memorizing. Because what we put in our minds influences our choices. I wrote up here on the board, and then I erased it. G-I-G-O. How many of you recognize that term? That acronym. Bradley, what does it stand for?
Garbage in, garbage out.
Garbage in, garbage out. That's a term that computer programmers use. And Uwe Steinman taught me this. When you're programming a computer, writing the code for it, what you put in is what will come out. If you put wrong coding in, it'll spit out all kinds of errors. If you put it in correctly, it'll come out correctly. And our brains aren't as rigid as a computer, but what we put in is what's going to come out. If we fill our children's minds with nursery rhymes and silly things, that is just what's going to come out. What we put in our minds influences our choices. You know, one of the greatest privileges of teaching school is having the ability to put stuff into our children's minds that is going to influence them. And memorization is one of those ways. A second value that memorization of other things like that has is that it is a good discipline for our minds just in itself. To have to focus and make this happen that we can memorize it. Quoting from an author on this, he says, "Some educators would argue that the very process of discipline in memorization is a valid and important technique. It is mind training of the highest order and will develop proficiency which is applicable in the entire development of one's educational pattern." Basically saying with some big words that if you teach your children to discipline themselves to memorize, they will also use that in their whole education. I'll just stick in a little bonus point for free right here, that I promote memorizing school programs. When I was in school a number of years, we did that. When I got to upper grades, the school we were at didn't do that. We had little folders of things to look off of. And when I taught school, I can't remember if I did the first year or not. I know I didn't the second year because the school I was teaching at didn't have that practice and I didn't push it. But it's an excellent discipline for your students to have to memorize the whole program and say it by memory. For one thing, they're not going to be looking at their books when they should be looking at the audience. And it really rivets in their minds these solid and thoughtfully chosen songs and poems that you chose, hopefully. And some of it will stick with them for years. I am proof of that. I can remember some of the passages, some of the songs, whatever, that I memorized for the program when I was in fourth and fifth grade. Some of the ones from upper grades, I don't really remember. I didn't have to memorize them. It didn't take as much thought. Anyways, a little bonus point for you. One of the questions I was given to address was, how do we promote long-term memorization? What is the point? What's the value of it? First of all, we have short-term memory, we have long-term memory, and then we also have what they call working memory, which is the shortest of all. When you're writing something down, for example, for just a couple of seconds, you have something in your mind, you write it down, you forget it, and you move on. Short-term memory can be just 10 or 15 minutes, very short. After that, you forgot it. And this is something I remember doing in school, and sometimes I'm still tempted to do it at home in Bible study at church. I'll forget until 10 minutes ahead of time. Oh yeah, the memory verse. Well, look it up and, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, whoop, got it memorized. Leader goes up front and I quote the 2 or 3 verses. But if you ask me 30 minutes later, I couldn't do it. If we have that if we emphasize that sort of thing for our Bible memory, it's sort of wasting our time. So how do we promote long-term memorization? Stop promoting the short-term. Don't make the Friday memory test the ultimate goal, to where if you can just get your student to memorize it good enough to at least say it and get a 90%, and then we'll move on next week to the next section, and that's your goal, you're not doing a lot of good. There will be some good. What does it take to remember stuff like that then? It's not that complicated. Just review. I wish I could have put a graph on the board I came across of, they made a chart showing how fast we forget something after we learn it. And if you review it, it bumps that downhill slope. Every time you review it, it bumps it out farther until, you know, after 8 or 10 times, you can remember something for most of your life. Whereas if we just remember it once in a week or two, it's pretty much gone. So review. Don't be ashamed to review last week's memory. I think it's a good idea to periodically practice passages you memorized earlier in the year. Maybe just go over them once, but that might be enough to refresh it. One idea is to have a memory period on Fridays after your memory work is done for that week. And maybe not every Friday, but every so often have a 20 or 30 minute memory period and go back through a bunch of the passages and just review them one after the other. Just refresh them. It really does make a difference. And if you taught last year, something interesting you could try at the beginning this year, go back to some of the passages from last year and see how well they know them. It will reinforce it in their minds again. There's other things we could do. I think I'll leave a few things here. What are some methods of memorization? I just basically have three. I don't have a lot of fancy techniques. I think if our passion is there, if we are excited about it, that's going to be more important than using just the right technique. First of all, in Bible memory, it's important to understand it. I think we should emphasize that. Make sure students understand what they're saying. Explain big words. Summarize the train of thought, maybe especially for older students like that. The passage I read, I did not read it yet. I'll get to that in just a minute. There's a few big words I was going to point out. Sometimes verses have comparisons. They say one thing and then they compare it to another. Point that out, because just a little thing like that makes it stick in the student's head. Maybe there's a triplet. Paul used triplets quite a bit. Points that are in points of three. Point those out. Whatever helps your students understand what they are saying and remember it, especially difficult verses. Another thing to help it stick and to remember it is use expressive hand motions and voice expressions when you say your Bible memory. Do not drone along at the same speed and pitch for your Bible memory. It makes it so unexciting, which is not what you want. This is an idea that I never... For one idea, and this is something I never did, it's more for lower graders. My wife used to do it when she taught lower grades, and it was very interesting. But teach your students, or have them copy you as you make these hand motions that illustrate the verse. I'm going to just give a little example of Philippians 1, verses 3 to 10. And hopefully I can do this without... I didn't practice this a whole lot. And y'all aren't lower graders, so it might look a little dumb. But Philippians 1, 3 to 10, so you have your students stand and copy you as you do this. You might have to do it a little slower. But you might say, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request with joy, jumping, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds
and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in all knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. Just a little example. But as your students do this, it's a good program idea, by the way. My wife did that when she taught. It helps the students realize what they're saying, and they'll remember it so much better. Upper graders probably won't be so excited about doing all the motions and jumping up and down, but I think it's still good for you as a teacher to do it, even if you don't require them to do it. You might not get quite as wild, but use your different tone of voice and illustrate it as you say it. And like I mentioned, if there's hard words in there, like, let's see, verse 7 that I read said, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all. Maybe your students ask your student to explain, what does that word mean? It means suitable. It's proper for me to think this of you all. What are my bonds, and what is the defense and confirmation of the gospel? You could give just a little summary on that so they know what we're talking about. What are the bowels of Jesus Christ? The Hebrews would understand that as affection or love. I long after them with the love of Jesus Christ. So first of all, understand. Have your students understand. Emphasize understanding and meaning. Don't let students, whatever age they are, memorize just for the sake of memorizing. Make sure they understand the significance of the passage and what it can mean, what it means for them. The second thing is picture it. You read that already. In case you're wondering, this is an example of an eye's glance, which is a technique discovered by the ancients. And I don't know how ancient that was. But the idea with this, let me explain. An important point about memory is that if you can visualize it, you'll remember it so much better. One thing that I tried to always make sure with my students was make sure your students are always memorizing from the same piece of paper or the same Bible. It does make a difference, especially for longer passages, because as you repeatedly look at the same verses over and over again on the same paper, your mind keeps taking pictures of that and developing a clearer and clearer image of how that looks. And as you recite it later, you can visualize it and you'll remember it better. Tell your students this. Tell them why it works so that they can understand it and be excited about doing it. You know, if they are going to go study their Bible memory at home, tell them to take their paper home with them or their school Bible. Don't send them home and they can use whatever Bible they find. It'll confuse them. Especially for students who struggle with Bible memory. Tell them this and focus on that. So that sort of relates to this. Especially for lower grades, I would really recommend either handwriting or typing out the passage you want to memorize for that week. Print it out and tape it on their desk. It's good for upper graders too. When you do that, format it in a way where it has columns. If you do a whole paper at a time, which I often did, I would often do a landscape format where it's wider this way, and I would have three or four columns so that you don't have more than eight. This eyes glance technique would say eight words or less in a line. Because when you look at that, you can almost read this first each line in one glance. You look at that in case you're wondering. And that sticks in your head. If I had written this all out in one big line, it would be harder to memorize. It's just a little tip, but it does work. That's how most Bibles are formatted already. But it's because your brain can easily visualize it. It's just a little tip. I already mentioned typing it out. I always taught upper grades, and I would usually print out a whole chapter at a time. Usually I would put little spaces in there where I was planning to chunk up the weekly sections. When you do that, write it out like this, the simpler the better. No complicated fonts, all fancy and swirly, where you have to really focus to read. Keep it simple. Keep your colors simple. It helps them remember it. One more point on this. If you really want your memory to stick with your students, is after they have memorized it, have them write out the passage by memory. And handwriting, not typing. It really does work better. The thing with writing something out is just another example of using visual memory to help you remember it. The third thing is repeat. That one's to be expected. That's nothing complicated. It's interesting, some of the research I did with, I came across some of the world champion memorizers. I forget the exact term they use for them. They would have some of these techniques. Repetition, you still can't get away from in memorizing. But if you have to make 7 attempts to memorize a verse or two, it's better to say it in 7 different days, repeat it once, 7 different days, than to say it 7 times over and then call it good. It's that daily refreshing that keeps drilling it in there. So time does make a difference. There's different ways you can repeat it. One thing that I really recommend, I wish I would have done it more when I taught. Maybe I can do it next time, if it comes, is when I was in middle grades, my teacher, Rob Lane, he would have us say 4 to 6 verses minimum every week. And that was a fair bit, but he had a really good system. Every time in the morning, we would recite it all together as a class and have a little time to practice it ourselves. But every time we came in from recess or from lunch, and right before dismissal, we would all stand at our desk, and since we had it taped to our desk, it was right there, and we would all recite it. So you got to recite the passage 4 to 5 times every day. That really worked. I remember enjoying that and not having much trouble memorizing. If you're going to do that, do make sure to put it on their desk. They'll waste a lot of time coming in and digging around for their Bible and looking it up. If you do this sort of thing, doing it several times a day, it will lessen the load in the morning when you would normally have your Bible memory time. And part of the advantage of that is, like, Monday morning is not such a big rush to quick give them 10 minutes to memorize, to practice. On Monday morning, before you assign this week's work, it's a good idea to recite last week's. If you have extra time, maybe the week before that even, for extra practice. You can do different things to keep it interesting as you recite. You could alternate boys versus girls every other verse. You could do teacher versus class. You could have them all stand up front like you're going to do on the program and face your desks and all say it together. You can go around the room, have them each do one verse at a time. There's just different ways you can make that repetition a little more interesting. But those are just the 3 main points I came up with. Understand it, picture it, and repeat it. Now for the last point, how do you grade memory work? I don't have a lot to say. I have limited experience, and some of you have a lot more than I do. But I think how we grade it is going to depend on whether we're focusing on the short-term or the long-term goal for memorizing. I tend to be a perfectionist, so maybe I was a little hard on my students, but I think it's still good to insist on accuracy. I just hated when my students would come Friday morning and it was time to say it. So they would say it and they would stumble through it and mess up. And, you know, maybe they got a passing grade. They didn't have to repeat it, but you could tell they just barely got it and they had a bunch of words wrong. They're getting it wrong. That's not how the Bible says it. It's much better to learn 3 verses a week correctly and thoroughly than 8 verses a week, all shoddy and just barely having it. Keep that in mind. As far as grading, I have always used percents when I was teaching. I would count up the total number of words in the passage And then as they said it, keep a little note of how many mistakes they made or how many times I had to prompt them. And then do a percentage. I'm not sure if I would do that again or not. One thing I had to really be careful with, you probably will too, whatever system you use. When you have them come up front and you get out your Bible and you click your pen to jot down the mistakes, it's very unnerving when they're saying it and they're focusing and shh, you make a little mark, and shh, you make a little mark, and shh, you make a little mark, and they know they're making mistakes. Keep it just as, I would often just put my hand down low and just not even look at my pen and just make a little mark. That way they couldn't tell when they made a mistake, because some of them it would just derail them. And I remember being that way as a student. Ron and Staff's Handbook for Creative Teaching. If you don't have one, get one. I think Berlin, I think you gave them all away maybe. And I forgot to bring your last copy today. They have some really good pointers throughout the whole book, but on memorization as well. They have one suggestion for grading. They use letters for grades. An A would be for perfectly quoted. If they make one or two mistakes or need promptings on the first time they try it, that's a B. If they make several mistakes on the second try, that's a C. On the third try, they still don't have it right, that's a D. And I think they said a worse grade, do give a worse grade if they aren't done on time, but still make them memorize it. Because, I'm quoting this from the book, they said some students will gladly take a failing grade if they can just forget it and move on. Anyways, I never had that problem, but I haven't taught that long. So, do any of you have ideas, input, how you grade them? Or on anything else?
I don't know that it really matters so much how you assign the grade, but especially for Bible memory.
Mm-hmm.
Emphasis on accuracy. For my students, they knew, even if they can't say it perfectly by Friday, they're still going to have to say it again Monday. They're not getting out of this. They're not able to go to jail for free. If you'll forgive me.
Get out of jail.
Get out of jail. They're not getting out of jail free. They're going to have to say it Monday.
Perfectly.
And if they can't say it on Monday perfectly, they'll say it perfectly on Tuesday. And just keep going. Like, you got to get this right. And I only assigned 3, maybe 4 verses max.
Because mm-hmm.
like you said, it's better to have 3 perfect than 8 mediocre or 4.
Okay. So don't let your students off too easy. Just on accuracy.
I did make a little bit of difference there depending on what we were memorizing. For Bible memory, I insist on perfect. I say it perfectly. But if it's Rudyard Kipling's poem, okay, let's
move on. Right. Less valuable. Okay, anything else? You have a thought on that?
I would take it in chunks. So they could say the first 15 verses, and then later on that week try the next 15 verses.
Okay.
So break it up into chunks. And if they can say the first 20 verses before their first mistake, then okay, you only have the next 10 to go the next time. But
okay.
I would give them a little bit of wiggle room there, but I still want it to be said. Perfectly. How do they, how do you eat an elephant? Break it up into bites.
One bite at a time.
So, and students have been able to say entire books accurately if you break it into small enough chunks.
Mm-hmm.
And they do remember it.
Later.
Anyway.
Okay. Good point on chunking it, keeping it chunked. I've done whole books. And I don't think you can, well, you can. You can require 100% accuracy. Actually, the Rod and Staff book had a little story in there about one student was remembering when he was a, person was remembering when he was a student. His teacher had them memorize a whole book. It was a book of 1 John. And they had to say it perfectly. And if they made a mistake partway through, they had to go to the back to the beginning of the book and start over. But he said the amazing thing was that himself, both himself and his other students, they were excited about it. It wasn't drudgery to have to do that he remembers. The teacher had inspired them to the point where they were willing to do that.
There is a point in which the challenge is what they want.
Yeah.
You throw down the challenge
mm-hmm.
to them. I think I may have to take that challenge.
You mentioned that the way you score has to do with your personality. So I don't score like either one of you do. I didn't have my Bible with me, but I think you read a 2 or an unto in one of your Bible memory, one of the verses you quoted mm-hmm. me. And it really didn't distract me that much, except that you had told us that we're going to talk about how we score Bible memory. Mm-hmm. and so the reason I bring that up is that I think sometimes we get this is the Bible. We want them to get it. But what do we want them to get? Do we want them to get the ideas, mm-hmm. or do we want them to get the twos and the untwos perfectly? So keep that in mind. For my students, you come up and say it, and you either pass through, or you say it again.
Mm-hmm.
And that I take into account the twos and the untwos. But I more have to say, so you said holy, acceptable unto God, which
is your
then name. You just go back and you don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You can stammer around and get all the words right, but you really don't know that.
Okay, there's different, there's good balance on either side. You'd be focusing more on making sure they understand and remember the meaning.
Now, did you say something about writing out the memory? Or the memory when they memorize it, writing it out?
The way I said it was after they have memorized it. There's different views on that. I never did require that as a test. Some teachers would argue that doesn't even work at all. And I could see for a slow writer, someone whose language isn't their first gift, it could be pretty difficult because it takes them so long to write that they lose their train of thought. And so to use that as your test, I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. But if you think they need more practice after they have said it orally, have them write it out. Okay. They write it for themselves to look at. I thought about mentioning that.
Some of them, they can read it themselves, but then sometimes you can't read it very well.
Yeah. One thing that reading off of a handwritten page will do, it gives it a little more touch of uniqueness that you can visualize better than just the same font that's typed out. But yeah, you want it neat enough for them to read. Okay, that's all I had. I did have just a few little bonus things. I came across a book that I didn't end up buying or reading. It sounded very intriguing. You might want to check it out. The book was called 10 Peas in a Pod. It's a story about a family who had a very strong memorization program for their children. I didn't write down any of the facts about it, but they had in the story about the book, had a few examples from the book that, by age 2 or 3, they had their little children saying verses or little poems or whatever. By the time they were 6 or 8, they had some amazing things memorized. And it was because they focused on it. But it was amazing what those children could do. So I don't know if I'll end up buying the book, but if you want to check it out, it'd be something interesting. How many of you have heard of Josh Porter's memory curriculum? Does any of you use it? Have you used it when you were a student?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
No, I just, last year I taught and this big folder was up there and I couldn't make it. That's how it, no, I didn't really want to do anything but then anyway.
Yeah. I've never done it either. I've heard different people talk about it some. That is something you could check into if that intrigues you. All right. Thanks for your attention.